What is strategy all about? How do great organizations develop and work with strategy? These are questions we'll be exploring now. Welcome to the Value Strategy Pod, where we decompose the strategy of some of the most interesting organizations in the Nordics. I'm Tala Scherfsvik, and I hope you will join me in the quest for knowledge about how to think and do strategy. I'm here today with Kjetil Torvik Brun, who's head of strategy at Inventas. I got to know Inventas when I contributed to a leadership workshop related to strategy and had the pleasure of seeing the great enthusiasm and burning commitment that lies in the people who work at Inventas. For many years, I've studied knowledge workers and conducted interviews related to leadership in engineering companies. And the engagement and the culture of Inventas is truly unique. You work with product development for other companies and combine technology and design in an incredibly exciting way. Among others, you talk about engineering art, or maybe it could be better to say art and engineering, I don't know. But the point is that it combines the precision of engineering and the vision of design. And this is at the heart of strategy. So I thought that was also really interesting. When I met you when I met Inventas, you have a really exciting strategy. But I know that you're currently working on a new strategy, and we really look forward to hearing more about that. But first, Kjetil, we want to know a little bit more about you. Who are you?
Hi. So first of all, thanks a lot for having me. Good to see you again. Who am I? So am I what I do for a living, or am I what I do when I'm not at work? So let me start with the latter one. I have a beautiful wife and two children and a lovely dog. I love being outdoors and cooking all the time. So that's basically me outside of work. But in terms of work, I've been very fortunate to have quite a broad background. So I've been working in marketing, in actually in economy and accounting as well. I've been working in IT, and quite early I went into consultancy. So both in terms of kind of business consultancy towards communication, strategic communications, a lot of analytics there. I've been in Microsoft for a while. I there worked with corporate affairs for their European headquarters. And I've been in Burst Marsteller, at the time one of the world's largest PR agency, working with PR for tech companies. And after that, I went to a place called Abela, which is basically a part of the Norwegian Confederation of Businesses, as a representative for the Norwegian technology industry. And apart from that, I've been in several boards in both private sector and in NGOs, and also quite a bit of committees and advisory boards for government and various parts of the authorities. So yeah, I think that's pretty much me.
Yeah, I have a super broad background, and I thought it was interesting, you know, why did you want to choose Inventas? This company must be great. What does Inventas do, and like, what is the background for you choosing to go to Inventas?
Mm-hmm. So basically, my entry into Inventas was via actually the their board. So I went in there as chair of the board and was there for a couple of years. And basically, I could say that one of the main reasons for saying yes to that part initially was basically that I saw that the positioning of Inventas within an area of development where you combine digital and physical was really, really interesting, and was an area that was kind of I was still set to explore that, so to say. I haven't been much into the physical aspect of it. So I said yes there, and worked quite a bit there on both various topics within the board there. But I ended up actually saying that when the opportunity came, that, you know what, this is so exciting, such a cool company, so many interesting opportunities, that I had to say yes to jump into the company. So now, like you mentioned, you work as head of business development there. So that was basically my way in. But I think you asked me also what we do. Is that?
Yeah. What do you do?
Don't forget that part. Huh? So what we basically do is that we develop products. So, and we develop products for others. And we do so within products that are both purely physical products with basically no digital aspects in the product itself. We do it with purely digital products. But at the most part, we also work with the combination of those two. So where the physical and the digital meet and combining to into the single products, that's mainly where our business is. So the company itself is approximately 27 years old now. It was based upon the belief, actually some students that came out of product design at the time. I'd like to actually mention kind of the initial thought behind the company, because what they found was the strong belief in that combining engineering skill set with design skill set, and really just taking those people, putting them in a room, throwing challenges at them, and then magic will happen. And so it does every single day. And it's really cool. What they did there was when selecting a name, I think they really did something really smart there. They went and looked at actually the Nobel Prize. And it says there on one of the side of the coin, it says something in Latin that I'm not going to try to explain, but it basically means that those who combine science and art for the greater good of humanity. And so that's actually been our vision ever since. Which is then let us improve life through science and art. And the combination there, the science and art, the engineering and design, these aspects is really important for us.
And I think that's led you into some super interesting projects. So I'm going to call the episode Trying to Find Water on Mars. Can you say something about why I would like to call the episode something like that?
That's one of the projects we've had. I can, because what I probably should mention there is that basically when we say that we develop products, it basically means that that both technology skills and design skills, they're pretty much universal. So we can work on any kind of industry, any kind of actually issues or problems, basically. And take that into our skill set and make something out of it. And so that means that we work with products from autonomous undersea vehicles that do engineered work maintenance work undersea. We are in autonomy on the ocean. We're in maritime. We're in. So to say, hospitals with products. We're authorized to or certified to develop medtech products, but we're also in space. So working on everything from satellites to also the Mars rover. We had a role there on working on the radar that sits on the Mars rover. That uses radar to look approximately 10 meters underground there to see if there's any signs of life there. So it's pretty cool to know that some of the technology developed by our colleagues here is rolling around on Mars. That's fun.
And a lot of people don't even know. So that's why I wanted to tell me.
Well, they should.
They should. I've been working a lot with knowledge workers, and developing strategy for knowledge workers is a little bit special because they're very autonomous. They want to do their own thing. So this company seems like a company with a lot of engaged knowledge workers, really into their discipline, working with their different competences. But you've been working on a strategy for this company. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So where do you basically start then? I think basically what I should touch about first then is what is a strategy for us? I mean, what is actually the word? Because there's a lot of different perceptions about what a strategy is and what it's not. But the way I look at it, and we look at it in general, at least, is that where our vision, like I mentioned, is let us improve life through science and art. That's basically like a compass that points us in a direction. But we need some sort of navigational milestones underway, and basically that's where the strategy aspect comes in. So what we do there is not necessarily define what those various waypoints or milestones look like specifically, but we do develop scenarios to describe them as well as we can, and then basically we need to pull those scenarios into here and now. So what do we do now to make sure that we have the highest possible likelihood of achieving those scenarios? And so basically a lot of what that means is that the actual implementation is a really important aspect there as well. So and I should also mention there that we work a lot in terms of looking not only on various sectors we work with, but preferably more on value chains. Look less on forecasting, detailed forecasts, more on scenarios. We look not so much as developing long-term plans as we do on developing more playbook orientation. And that basically means like you're in on there with highly skilled employees. And then basically we're very much dependent on the autonomy aspect. So we need leaders and we need employees that are autonomous and they know the strategy well. They know these scenarios and milestones, and they can also relate to that in everyday work. And I'm not saying we're there or perfected it, but it's definitely how we look at working with strategy. So
that's so interesting. So just could you give us an example of what a scenario could be in your, like, what could it be? Is it like a description of a product or a future state or a process, or what could a scenario be? Or is that still kind of under planning, or can you just, so we kind of understand it?
We have some descriptions there. So one aspect there, though, is that I'm very little locked, so to say, in terms of how that should be done, what it is. Is it a number, or is it a state of mind, or is it a positioning for the company, or what it is like that? I don't think that's the important part of it. The important part of it is that it's able to describe a kind of state that we actually want to achieve. And for us, one of the things there that's been kind of really central for our development over the past few years and actual several years is a constant kind of broadening and developing to other aspects outside our core. So the core has all the time kind of moved. And the main aspect of that is basically, I could say that it's an acknowledgement of and an experience that our customers not only tell us what to develop of products, but ask us what they actually should develop of products. So the whole advisory part and actually gaining knowledge about the totality of a product, of what it takes to make it a success. That's an important part for us. So we build basically a scenario around taking a product from the very beginning, from actually before an idea is made, and all the way to what the customer sees as success. And within that description, there are also a few priorities, which we also define as various scenarios. So and they're very much related to what triggers our employees as well. So, because I could always look into the world and into different markets and say, okay, this is cool, a lot of opportunities there. But if it's not related to or doesn't engage employees in a good way, then it's not really relevant at all and we will never succeed. So that's really central in all of these scenarios. But I, if you like, I could mention kind of the three main aspects there.
Yep.
Where one is specifically regarding to the highly engaged employees in terms of their skill sets and what are the relevant skill sets. So the rather kind of, so to say, narrow aspects of it. And there's both the narrow where you meet employees and others that are really, really deep into specific places, like the FPGA programming that's a lot of in space, or other aspects that are just kind of relatively narrow. And then there's the broad aspect of these skill sets as well, which basically means that if we have a lot of highly specific skill sets, how do we turn that into a totality that actually makes sense in terms of developing that product, in terms of moving that product from an idea all the way over to success? And the combination there is one of these scenarios that we develop. And yeah, I think that's one of them. And the second one is I'm not sure what I should call it in English, but it's more of a kind of societal commitment, so to say. So we are product developers, and we are product developers that are socially committed, and we are actually going to address societal issues as well, and we're going to pull that into our work. So, like we all know, there's an enormous amount of challenges out there in the world, especially now these days. And when looking at what we do, we kind of acknowledge that, okay, it's not like the big policy aspects that's relevant for us, or the kind of opinions about those things, but hey, we actually develop products every single day. And so what we can do, what our contribution is best there, is to implement those thoughts into how we develop products and what products we develop. And so that's basically our take on that. And so we kind of implement the sustainability aspects, the ethics aspects, things like that. And we're also intending to there be more externally engaged on what that means and why it's important, and these aspects as well, to not just be the people that knows better some way, because there's a lot of smart people out there that are really, really smart at this. So we need to combine those things and think more like an open innovation type of thoughts. Mm-hmm. So the last part is on new opportunities. A lot of employees have kind of a startup mindset. They really like creating things and have a driving force towards that. So they're also our owners. So that's probably something I didn't mention earlier. We're 100% owned by our employees. And that's a really, really strong, strong kind of, so to say, foundation to have to work on strategy. And this really comes to life in terms of the strategic scenario in terms of new opportunities, because that basically means that what kind of approval stamp from our owners do we have to search for new opportunities, and that's really strong, and we can use the skills of our employees to also do that, and those employees also being the owners, they actually at the end of the day, they're the decision makers. So when the leadership team goes to our board and the board goes to our owners, the owners are actually people that report to us. So it's a really great dynamic. That's really, really good. And so the whole new opportunities aspect there is, it's important for us to engage employees also there. And also it involves a lot of aspects. So it could be startups, it could be investments, it could be it's partnerships. So who should we partner up with? Why? How? Those things. So yeah. So those are the three scenarios.
So these are kind of three scenarios. So you talked about the kind of the type of knowledge, the type of engagement for society, and then finally, what was the last one? Remind me. The
skill.
Start, the startup, the ability to kind of start and do new ideas. So would this be kind of things that you would use to select things that you would be doing and wouldn't be doing, depending on these three kind of dimensions or scenarios? Or were they more like things that you see yourself doing in the future? Like, how do you use them? How do you intend to use these areas in some sense?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because in terms, the way I look at it is that these are formulated as scenarios and kind of priorities. So basically, what is a strategy if it doesn't prioritize? I mean, that's basically nothing. So that basically means that when we define scenarios, so instead of saying the exact thing that we are going to be at that time, and we're guaranteed to miss on that with the pace of things out there and technology development, everything. It's so fast and it changes rapidly, so we can't define that. And it wouldn't be right, because we know we're going to miss. And so what we do in terms of the scenarios there is that when we describe that more specifically, and I will pull parts of this, but we should describe that as a scenario that we need to say and pull that apart from each other and say, okay, what are the most important things for us to be able to achieve that? So that's actually one way that we do that. And one of the things that's important then is to prioritize those must win battles. So it's absolutely very much inspired from the book Must Win Battles, from that's like 20 years now or something. But it basically means that we define what are most important aspects of those priorities and scenarios to actually achieve them. And we need to prioritize them in time, in resources, and importance, amongst others.
In my mind, Inventus is kind of, you know, the reason why I also think you're super interesting is that you seem to be working on the most cutting edge things in different industries with different technologies and different designs. Do you think, like, how will this strategy enable you to continue doing that in some sense? Do you have some thoughts on that? Will it enable you to do more of those cutting? Because it's also about cutting edge technologies. You know, you could assume that the strategy would be like, find cutting edge projects and run them. Or, you know what I mean? Like, will you continue on the path? Or are these three areas, you know, super important actually to do these cutting edge projects?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's several parts of that. Because first of all, is what is cutting edge? Very often, space is looked at as really, really cutting edge. I have to admit, and sorry for any kind of dreams kind of split there or something like that. But it's with the work that we basically do in space, it's not necessarily that it's the absolutely most cutting edge or the most high tech, but the part of that specifically is that it cannot fail. So there is no whatever the mission is that's going to fail because of the work we do. It can't fail, and the technology can't fail. So it's not necessarily also what you actually put the newest things into, but you need to test that really, really surely first. So that's a kind of one aspect of it, is that it's not necessarily the cutting edge of technology. It's how you use it, when you use it, and how you combine it with each other. And that is a really important part for us. So when you look at various issues, so if we say that, okay, we take tomorrow's issues and we develop the solutions today, which is one of the things that we kind of had as an internal slogan, so to say. That basically means that those issues, as the time goes by, will have many different ways of being solved. And perhaps there isn't a good solution at one time, but after a certain time there is. So it's a constant renewal there. And that constant renewal is important for us to catch through our projects and through challenging our customers. And then we need the customers that are actually willing to be challenged and to say, okay, perhaps that first idea I had wasn't the best one. Let's dig into it and work further on that and see how we can do this. So I think the combination there of these scenarios and strategic priorities, customers and projects that are willing to be challenged on them. And then we can basically deliver the best possible from our side. So if that answered anything that you said.
No, it's super interesting. I'm just trying to, because that's kind of my perception. I think that was so interesting about what is cutting edge. I think that was just a super interesting kind of reflection as well. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. What can we learn from the strategy work that you have been doing? What have you learned, or what would you say, you know, what do you take away that you want to share with others?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things there is that, and perhaps it's easier for me to say because we're employee owned, but I really, really must stress the fact that including and really, really using employees as a defining factor throughout the strategy process is really important. So from our case, we started first with asking employees what they think about several important questions and topics, and worked with that all the way. And by doing that, if you are true to the input, both the internal input and external analysis, then basically it means that when you come out with the final strategy as a product, then employees will be much more engaged to actually utilize it, and they will recognize themselves in it and their opinions in it, which is really, really useful. So I must say that engaging employees and how you engage them also is really important. So one of the ways we did implementation there is, as a kickoff, is basically to gather everybody and with a actual suggestion for a more or less final strategy. After all the involvement beforehand, obviously, then they got to kind of, what should I say, attack it in some ways and say that, okay, so what's driving us forward, what's holding us back, all of these are aspects, and we trained on handling dilemmas underway. So what are the dilemmas that we might be facing when addressing those scenarios and going that direction? How do we handle and a training to, in that way, make decisions and choices autonomously that are aligned with the strategy. And then lastly, we also actually did a kind of a more messaging aspect where we asked them all to make a front page of a newspaper with all the various cases there. And that was a lot of fun, absolutely. So they get actually also to explain and describe these scenarios and what might happen or not. So that's a...
Yeah. So these three scenarios, they came out of what the employees that are also the owners, what they think, you know, are the key areas for the company going forward. Is that kind of
combined with other aspects? Yes. So it's not like that we went and asked and said, okay, then we'll do that. Because there's a lot of external factors here. Obviously, I mean, we're a business, yeah. so we have to address the market first and foremost. But there's a lot of great skill set and excellent minds in the organization. And they're in touch with customers all the time. They're in touch with the market. So that's really, really knowledge that we need to have in as a really important part of it. And if we can't engage the employees on executing the strategy and with the strategy, then what's the use of having it?
If we look at Inventas, I just think the company is amazing. I think you're doing such a great work on the strategy involving the employees. This seems, you know, it's like a really good strategy case in my mind. So as a final thought, what would you say as a one-liner for other people? Like if you had a board you could put up in maybe the reception on Inventas, or maybe even in receptions of a number of companies, what would it say on that board as a strategic message to people passing by?
Okay. I'm not the greatest at putting one-liners out there immediately, but so it would basically be a choice between, do we want something that highlights our strategies so that people remember, or is it something that pushes a strategic way of thinking in the everyday efforts? And so one of the things I'm quite preoccupied with now is using kind of scenario thinking to see who is and what is the opinion and needs of your customer tomorrow or next year or 2 years or 3 years. So I think something in that way. So what would your future customer think? Something like that. I think that would be something that would be nice to have.
I think that's super important. And I know that, you know, as humans in, you know, not competing with technology, but at least relating to technology, we have a unique ability of imagining things. So mm-hmm. I think that would be, you know, even imagining the customer and what the customer looks like in the future. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important skill set that we actually have as humans that maybe yeah. should utilize even more. And it's really, really strategic. So thank you for that, Kjetil. Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Kjetil from Inventus, a truly unique and super interesting company. So the only thing to say is thank you so much and bye-bye.
Thank you.